And then that brings us to our third civilization, Western Europe. I like to always put it that Western Europe went on crusade in the world of the Romanesque cathedral and emerged out of the Crusades in the High Gothic. That perhaps is a simplification, but in many ways, Western European society and civilization underwent the most dramatic changes as a result of the two centuries of crusading. And Western Europe also highlights the fact that in dealing with the Crusades, and this will become quite evident in the coming lectures, this is not simply going to be a set of lectures on Crusades 1 through 8. The Crusades were far more than just those 8 military expeditions. The impact of the Crusades, its influence on political institutions, on economic change, on religious life, on the very identity of Western Europeans far transcended just those expeditions. And a good deal of what we're going to be looking at is analyzing the repercussions and impact of those Crusades with Western Europe as our main focus, and then also trying to give as much attention that we can for the Islamic and Byzantine worlds that were also very much influenced by these ventures. But as to Western Europe at the start of the Crusades, clearly it was not on the same level as the other two civilizations. Whereas the Islamic world and the Byzantine Empire presented the images of very powerful civilizations, both of them with some kind of bureaucratic state, with a powerful ruler who could get his will done, who could collect taxes, and both states with the notion that political and spiritual authority essentially rested in the same place, in a great capital city, Baghdad or Cairo in the Islamic world, Constantinople in the Byzantine world. That was not what obtained in Western Europe. In 1095, there was a great religious capital in Europe. That was Rome. Rome had emerged as the religious center of Western Europe. Part of that was through a historical accident that the popes in Rome claimed to be the true successors of Peter. They were the only patrine see, that is apostolic see, that could trace its descent back to an unbroken succession of bishops all the way to Peter. And they were the only see in Western Europe that had that claim. The others were in what is in 1095 either the Byzantine Empire or the Islamic world. Furthermore, Rome had been the capital of the Roman Empire, especially the Western Roman Empire that had collapsed in 476. So the popes also inherited all of the legitimacy and respect, the mantle of the late Roman emperors. And so in the papacy in Rome were the religious authority of the Western Church as well as all those Roman imperial traditions. However, political authority, that is secular authority, was not in Rome. In Western Europe, the majority of kingdoms, and really the main power were the principalities and the feudal states of Western Europe, the majority of these states were founded by Germanic, in some cases Celtic rulers, who while they gave their allegiance to the Pope in Rome as their spiritual father, essentially governed regional churches and regional states. And even in their own kingdoms, their power was very, very much restricted by custom, and real power was at the regional and local level among the great feudal lords in the states that came out of the Carolingian Empire, or in other types of strong powerful figures, old Celtic chiefdoms and the Celtic fringe, local rulers in Anglo-Saxon England. So Western Europe presented a very, very different picture. Here, spiritual and political authority were not one and the same. There was this peculiar division. And on the eve of the Crusades, this issue is being battled out. Exactly what is the relationship between Western Europe between the papacy and the various political figures of Western Europe? What was the relationship of spiritual and secular on the abstract level? Which was superior? The popes always claimed that, of course, the spiritual was, and they were in charge of it. Monarchs in Western Europe tended to disagree. This leads to a series of debates, disputes, the so-called investiture controversy, and to some extent, the Crusades are connected with this debate. They don't solve the debate, far from it. They actually widen the arena in which this debate will be played out. And it also is a debate that leads to peculiar developments in Western Europe, to a division of these two authorities and the emergence of the Western European nation-state order, which is quite distinct from the older traditions closer to the Roman world that you see in the Orthodox Empire Byzantium and the Islamic world. And I always put it this way, at the start of the Crusades, I think most of the Muslims and Byzantines were really quite perplexed. You know, who was ever in charge of these expeditions? They would be preached by the Pope, nobles might show up, kings might show up. It was a very, very peculiar venture. to the Byzantines and Muslims, and it reflected the unusual nature of European society, which had evolved along different lines and had diverged from its Roman traditions in some ways far more than either the other two civilizations. And that's a point that's important to stress because it's often overlooked. The Western Europeans had built their civilization on a set of local institutions and premises that were not necessarily Roman. They were Germanic, they were Celtic, in some cases pre-Roman. So with those three civilizations, what we plan to do is to address this course in really three parts. We're going to look at the whole origins of the crusading movement in the first 12 lectures. We are then going to move to the first century of the Crusades, and for convenience, I call that the 12th century. That is from the capture of Jerusalem in 1099 to the collapse of the kingdom at the Battle of Hattin, July 15th, 1187. About two-thirds of those lectures are going to be dealing with the political and historical narrative. And then we're going to spend four lectures on cultural exchange, economic impact, and a number of other thematic issues that came out of the 12th century. And then finally, in the last third of this class, we're going to deal with the last century of crusading, and those set of lectures likewise will combine both narrative as well as economic and cultural change. You will note that throughout this course, there will be a real effort to address not only what went on in Western Europe, but also what went on in the Byzantine world and in the Muslim world. And it is necessary to see all three perspectives because all three civilizations were at play. There's constant influence among the three. And the consequences, while maybe different for each civilization, were nonetheless profound. And all three civilizations came through this experience greatly transformed. So with that introduction, we shall now turn to the first part of this class, which is, why did the Crusades emerge in Western Europe? What led to this peculiar version of religious warfare that had as its objective the capture of the holy city of Jerusalem, which for all Europeans in 1095 was literally the center of the world?